As the Lord is pleased to help, I wish to direct you this evening and base my remarks upon these well-known words found in the fourth chapter, John's Gospel, verses 13 and 14, where we read, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now I would, dear friends, that all of us might have clearly set before us one thing. There is nothing to compare with the gospel. Satan has tried to mimic it, to counterfeit it, but thank God, the revelation which God makes in the gospel to faith causes faith to cry out. There is nothing like the gospel. How many are the truths which testify to this end? Higher as the heaven is above the earth, so my thoughts above your thoughts. From the east to the west, all the magnitude of this which God has revealed in the gospel. Do you know that what God has revealed belongs to us? And the old Puritans, who were far more lively in the faith than many of us, they used to say that all the secret things that are in God, and think for a moment of God who fills all immensity, that all the secret things that are in him will not outweigh or overcome that which he has revealed. And how has God revealed the gospel? Well, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. I would then that we might see and cleave unto it. And I felt a little of the confidence of it in prayer. It's a spiritual reality that God will ever distinguish the gospel. Herein is his greater glory. And what have we in this lovely conversation betwixt Christ and the woman at the well but the gospel? It is worth our while pondering a moment to consider how in the previous chapter you have Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a man full of religion, full of natural religion, coming to Christ. And here you have a woman. I don't believe she had one thought about religion at all. Like people who just do not want religion, do not want chapel, just content to go backwards and forwards to many a natural well. How many do this? Oh, I would ask you, friend, and ask myself at the same time, what I really know about the living water. Is there that in your religion which is God-given that makes all the difference in the world? I said in our own pulpit at home the other night, and I mean it, I would not be a religious man for 2 minutes more if I did not know, and I say it in great humility, if I did not know a little of this blessed secret of life in the gospel that binds us, or whereby we are bound to God himself. There's reality here. God is a spirit. Flesh and blood does not enter into the kingdom. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And what did the Lord do to Nicodemus? Briefly, he pointed out to him that he knew nothing. Here comes this master of Israel, and yet hast thou not heard? Knowest thou none of these things? These things that really matter? These things that have to do with the kingdom of heaven? That are enduring, everlasting? And Nicodemus, poor man, he knew nothing about those things. So Jesus brought to him that blessed truth. Ye must, not maybe, be born again. Ye must be born again. And though he was most intelligent in all other things, yet he says, how can these things be? Here is a new and living way which was not taught at the feet of Gamaliel, which was not taught amongst this strict sect of the Pharisees. And dear friend, let me show you the importance of this new and living way. When Saul of Tarsus saw it, when by faith he believed it, when by the love of God he was enabled to walk in it, to feel the satisfaction of his God and the rejoicing of his God in it. What does he say? He says, I count all things else but dung and dross. To me, it has always seemed as though he searched about all through his vocabulary to find those words that conveyed the utter futility, the utter rubbish, of all other things apart from the excellency of the knowledge of God. And it was to this end that Christ must needs go through Samaria. I am informed that there were other ways to Galilee, but this was the way that the traveller normally took, the way which led past this well, which dated right back to the parcel of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And of course we all know, don't we, that in the eternal covenant, in that which really matters, Christ must needs go this way, through Samaria. And what really matters? You'll find it all recorded in the first chapter of the first epistle to the Ephesians. It's briefly this, the good pleasure of his will. I ought to pause there. You know, Satan is so devious. He so tries us, doesn't he? Tries to put our minds upon ulterior things. And yet ultimately when we trace by the truth of God everything and all events up to the one fountain, there you have it, the good pleasure of his will. Friend, the way of peace is the way of submission. Submission. We have much need of God-given prayer for that one blessed grace. Grace to submit. The poet who wrote those words, grace to lie passive in his hands and know no will but his. He knew a thing or two. Why, bless you, friend, he did know a thing or two. He knew that here was peace. He must needs go. Oh, for years I've had to live upon a faithful and unchanging God. This foundation which God hath laid, God, because he could swear by none greater, swearing by himself. Think of it, friend. I wish I had words to convey to you the immensity of these things. It isn't a little gospel. You mustn't believe the devil when he tells you that God is a little God. Just think for a moment the Arminian theory, because that's all it is. Christ timidly asking a sinner whether he wants to believe or not. Oh, if only we knew the depth of sin and wickedness. We only know a little, even though your eyes may have been enlightened and your understanding too. If we saw the full extent of our depravity, it would turn us mad. But if we only saw, as he saw through those holy, sacred, and pure eyes, the depths of depravity of the church, we should know the immensity of the love of God that is recorded in those words. He died for the ungodly. And hence we do not think it strange, knowing this, that reconciliation must come. Reconciliation as we have it here, where he must needs go through Samaria to meet this woman, an unsavory character, in fact a harlot by profession. He must needs. Let's look at the theology of it. God does nothing outside of himself. Now this means one very important thing. Neither you nor I can be saved by proxy. No, we can't. No doubt, like me, you have certain people laid on your mind, on your heart, don't you? Your children, your wife, your husband, others in the chapel, others in the church, that await on you. It is a mercy when we're helped at a throne of grace to bring them. And sometimes, do pardon me, sometimes there is a sweet forcefulness in prayer, and it makes me think of those people who were so concerned to get that sick person into the presence of Christ, they took all the tiles off the roof of the house. I often say, oh, I do yearn for 5 minutes real prayer. Real prayer. And 5 minutes real watching at a throne of grace. But whilst you might have these dear ones laid upon your heart, friend, remember this. We cannot be saved by proxy. The testimony of every elect vessel of mercy will be akin to this dear woman's testimony. Come, all ye that fear God, and I will tell. And you'll tell it humbly, you'll tell it tenderly, you'll tell it lovingly, you may tell it weepingly, what the Lord hath done for my soul. God never went out of himself in all the plan of salvation, in all the satisfaction of justice. He goes only through his own person. Here am I, send me, said the Son. Lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. What a blessed, faithful witness Christ was to the Father. I've been thinking today, coming along, of that ladder that reached from earth to heaven, which Jacob saw in a vision. Sinner, think of it for a moment. When the dear lad awoke, there was a ladder right from his feet. Right from his feet to heaven's topmost heights. Now that is the gospel. That is the person and the work of Jesus. And I love to preach the gospel. not of works, lest any man should boast, is the truth, but all of mercy, rich, free, and sovereign grace. Has the Lord shown this to you? You're a blessed person, man or woman. You in your filth, you in your shame, you in your sin, and yet the ladder there at your feet, and the voice of God above it, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And look at the fullness of what God promised Jacob there. I will do this, I will do that, and I will never leave thee until I have brought all these things to pass. And I believe, friend, that such was the absolute vastness of that promise that Jacob couldn't take it all in. And neither do we, when first we are raised up to a little hope in his mercy. We cannot take in all that we've just sung regarding the gospel. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, those things that are laid up in Christ for them that love him. Why do I say that about Jacob? Am I maligning the dear man? No, 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 no. But he says, if thou wilt do these things. Sometimes we have to remember that even after a time of blessing, that impious if soon comes into the picture. It came into the presence of Christ, didn't it? If thou be the Son of God. And Christ fell upon that which only can withstand. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And Satan skulked off into the night. You'll know somewhat of it. If Jacob didn't doubt there, I say this, he took lower ground than the ground that God took in blessing. So how we need to be raised a little higher. Don't have hard thoughts of God. Don't have mean thoughts of God. Don't worship a God, and I speak very reverently, of putty. Some strict Baptists do. I know they do. And I'm not maligning them either. Listen to the conversation. Oh, God isn't like that. He's not as strict as that. He's not as hard as that. He could never do a thing like that. You've heard people talk. You may have spoken like that yourself and mourn for it too. But when the Lord opens one's eyes, as he opened the eyes of this poor woman, there's only one answer. Give me this water. Grant me this. This secret something which I haven't got. The way the Lord dealt with me, as quite a young man, I used to go to the chapel that I've been at now for many a long year. And I used to see the old saints going, and you know, you can spot them, can't you? You know exactly where they're going. Murdered many a one up and down the country who've been trying to find a strict Baptist chapel. And they've got somewhere in the vicinity and they've seen some poor folk trundling along, and they've said to themselves, we will follow them. And sooner or later they found themselves in a strict Baptist chapel. I like that little tale, although, pardon me, I don't usually talk about anecdotes, but I do like that little tale of Mr. Gascoigne, I think it was, and he kept a shop, I believe, station a shop, and some woman came into his town and wanted to look in the public directory. And he turned to her and said, "You'll find in this directory all the cinemas, all the public halls, all the buildings of note, everything to do with the day-to-day life of this town, but there's one thing you won't find in there." And she said, "Indeed, what is that?" He said, "You won't find any mention of the truth of God that's preached at the Strict Baptist Chapel in this town, nor will you find that chapel." She says, "Why? But that's just the place that I want to find." Sometimes it does well to speak out, friend. We can be a little too reserved about these things, can't we? I was very pleased in business some few months ago when a man came to see me. A representative of another company, an international company. And I don't know how the conversation started. I did my business with him and he with me. And I mentioned something about the truth of God, and he said to me, "What religion are you?" I said, "I belong to those folk that are everywhere spoken against." And he said, "Indeed, and who are they?" I said, "They're Strict and Particular Baptists." He said, "And indeed, that's just what I am too." I felt it good that day to be able, as one businessman to another, to speak a little of the things of God, not the first time. By any means. Not the first. Oh, I know it's... We don't want to make our religion ludicrous, as sometimes the Arminian does. Emotion and sentiment, these are foreign to real faith, which is not excitement. But may the Lord betimes help you. And make a preacher of you too, as this woman was made a preacher. And anybody can preach. If they've once tasted of the water of the well that Christ said shall not only be a well of water, but it shall spring up. What to? Life. Life. Some of you are growing older. Your lives are slipping away. I'm growing older too. What do we really know of life? Life isn't this life, you know. This life, with its temporary affections and temporary loves. Oh, sometimes when we speak of the love of God, we do tend to confuse it with natural love. Friend, naturally speaking, I love my children because I see in them that which excites my love. You follow? But the love of God isn't that. The love of God from all eternity past did not see in one blessed person in his mystical body anybody that excited his love. All sinners. But he loved like a God. And love notwithstanding all. Friend, don't give up. Satan may tell you you've committed the unpardonable sin. Satan's only object, because he hates you. He hates everyone, does Satan. His only object is to cast you lower and lower and lower. And I say, thank God for the springing up of the waters of life. What I do love about this account is the gentleness of Christ with this woman. I believe she had a law work, but nevertheless, in all that Christ said, it makes me think of what Job said. "Thy gentleness hath made me great." It is the only way that I know a sinner can be made great is by the gentleness of God. The poet says, "Thou who canst dash whole worlds to death, and yet he makes thee great, dear hearer, makes thee great how? not by law and terror, not by Sinai with its darkness, not by the righteous indignation of the Trinity. But he made this woman great by sitting on this well, wearied, revealing for all time and eternity that friend he knows what weariness is. All about our flesh, all about this nature. Here's the ladder. Look at it. The deity of Christ at the top and the sacred humanity comes right down to where we are. That's love. That's love. He sank on this well and the woman came. No thought of religion. No thought of anything right. No thought of heaven. But what transpired caused her to leave her water pot. Yea more, what transpired made her to go as every other child of God has gone. And she didn't say, now go away. But she said, come. Come and see. Isn't it remarkable that every one that has tasted that the Lord is gracious, every one that has tasted of the gospel, they're different people. They're different folk. Known some queer sticks in my time, probably some folk think I'm one. But I know if you once feel the love of Christ in your heart, your testimony will become and be welcome. Come and see this man who told me all things whatsoever I did. This is the spirit of Christ. I have no time for that Pharisaic spirit. I have to pray against it. It's in me. It's in you too. If you're right, you'll have to pray against it. This holier-than-thou attitude. But there will be a desire. Oh, that others might know this blessed secret. And he said, give me to drink. And she couldn't understand it because he was a Jew. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. It all went back years. It was all to do with a religious feud, you know. They'd been feuding the Jews and the Samaritans, even though they traded and did business together. Yet they could not come together upon the grounds of religion. Hence she said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria, and yet? Little did she know that almighty wisdom directed all this unto the end that Christ said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked. This is the keynote. Thou wouldest have asked. He will be inquired of to do these things, and he would have given thee. Friend, have you never sat in your room at night, and as you've read words like these, the scales of doubt and carnal fear have dropped from your eyes. And you have, as the psalmist says, taken hold of his strength and said, Lord, thou didst say thou wouldest give these things. Friend, don't give up. May thy confidence be in God. Dear man I used to know in Suffolk many years ago, he was a farmer. Opportunity came for him to buy a certain plot of land, and he was a man that feared God. And he was so tossed about this. Sometimes, you know, the Lord brings providence into these things. He brought providence into this woman's experience. She went to the well. That was the providence. And he walked up and down that plot of land, and the Lord dropped these words into his heart: have faith in God. And he couldn't get to the solicitors fast enough to sign it up. He knew the Lord had spoken, and so do some of you. I trust all. When he speaks, oh, be gone unbelief. My Saviour is near, and for my relief does most surely appear. Sir, she said, the well is deep. Thou hast nothing to draw with. She was still looking at carnal things, still looking at this well. Can you see the progress of a soul under the preached word? Can you see the way that ministers have to go? It's not just running about the country, preaching here, preaching there. If the Lord gives you a soul, it is through this pathway. And as the light increases in the heart of that dear soul, so becomes what we've just sung in that last lovely hymn: saints, raise your expectations high. Don't be like Bunyan's man with a muckrake, always looking down. Whosoever drinketh of this water, all the broken systems, all the polluted streams. Well, friend, you're a fool if you think that the streams of this life are anything but polluted. You are, you know. And I don't apologize, and neither am I rude. Look all the way around you in this nation today. Take just this nation of ours. And you know jolly well that all the promises that are being made by people in politics, how many will be kept if the Lord tarry 12 months hence? All is polluted. And I felt it as I said in prayer. Look at people's faces. Is there anything of the serenity, the calmness that we used to know? When they who feared God went backwards and forwards? No. I must have more, more, more. Is it bringing happiness? No. Beware of any system which looks like the gospel but isn't. Friend, why is this chapel not well attended tonight? Because people don't want religion. Let's face it. They don't want God. There's no need to pray today to get money, to get help. You go to the Social Security office. That's what it means, doesn't it? Let's face the facts. And some may say that's a good thing. You've got to go much deeper than that. Anything that doesn't bring a man into the knowledge of the truth cannot ultimately be good. Some of you will say, well, you're a little old-fashioned, but I have to go back to what the Lord said to Adam in the garden when Adam fell. He said, by the sweat of his brow would he earn. Sweat of his brow would he earn. Daniel tells you the earth shall become towards the end of the time full of knowledge. And this world is full of knowledge, and people flit to and fro, as though the world was only a few miles across it. But is that knowledge the knowledge of God?
No, friend. There's knowledge, but not the knowledge of God, and it makes me say, you're a blessed man.
If hey, there is in your heart this prayer, Lord, give me this water. Give me this water. Going through the scriptures, you'll find that often the water that is referred to refers to the whole work of God the Holy Ghost. He sometimes is seen, you'll notice I say he's a person. Sometimes is seen under the representation of wind, and often as water, the wells of the water of salvation. Hear the springing up. He who must come, and friend, he so sprung up in this woman's heart, in the revelation of the work of Christ, that the strong man armed must go. And how, when this unctuous light is found there, she has to confess to Christ regarding her husband. But did you notice Jesus had sent away the disciples? There's something blessedly discreet in this. It is only evil communications that corrupt good manners. The things of God will never corrupt good manners. It always pleases me when I see people who may, by dint of circumstance and so on, be what men call rather rough diamonds, and yet, when the Lord calls them by grace, how they change. There's a certain gentleness there. I believe these people really are gentlemen and gentlewomen. And the gentleness is not softness or effeminacy. The gentleness has to do with being with Christ and learning of him. It has to do with grace, which the Lord says shall reign, with grace that shall abound, with grace that shall keep. In other words, this is the water. Don't you say that you've no purpose in life if you know this? Ah, some soul may say, but it seems years ago that I knew it. He's still the same God. He's still giving you grace. You may not have the comfort of it, but dear friend, you won't know until the dawn of eternity just what assistance you've had through that grace. He often gives us assisting grace when we do not feel the comfort of it. She says, I have no husband. He says, thou hast well said. And how that dear soul must have felt as she stood in the very midst of he who is eternal light, eternal wisdom. And he searched her heart, but there was a new heart given her. And a new tongue too, to preach there at that time. Come, see this man. See this man who hath told me all things that ever I did. And friend, she still lived, like the prophet who said, I've seen the Lord, and still live. How solemn, and yet how sweet. What did I say in opening? There's nothing like the gospel. And all my remarks regarding this present day and all that's going on are calculated to this end, so that you nor I will ever say that ungodly men, however learned in the arts and sciences of this world,
bring anything in which is like the gospel. The gospel is that which caused the angels in the heights of heaven to cry, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. Examine every system, and they all might have a semblance of these things, but to the feet of Jesus we must come to learn these things in the only way, the way that Mary did. And if through grace thou choose that better part, it shall never be taken. The Lord bless you. Amen.